Give us the hope. Mm-hmm. Lift our faith. Mm-hmm. Lift our burdens. Mm-hmm. Give us the peace mm-hmm. that surpasses our understanding.
Yes.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence here overpowers any spirit.
Amen.
Any spirit that wants to bring this confusion here.
Amen.
Lord, your presence is powerful.
Amen.
And in your presence, there is goodness, joy, and peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' praise, we prayed.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Thank you very much. How great is our God. Today, I didn't know that the songs which we are going to be sung today, we are aligning with the sermon I was going to preach today. But it is God's mercy and presence that he connects. The Spirit connects what is going to happen every day. And it's not by mistake. If you are near each other, just say how are you to each other. Greet your neighbor. Now, there was a smile, and it's very great everyone is smiling. But when everyone was answering, they just said, I'm okay, I'm fine. He could not open up what is in his heart. Whether you were husband and wife, someone may be going through something, happiness, or the other side of the story. And you may not open it to your friend. He may not feel it. But the only person who understands that part in your life is God. And my topic today is let God handle your situation. In most cases, our situation is both sides. Let me begin with the happiest side when you are on the mountain. You have a house. You have money in the bank. Your children are happy. Life is okay. Sometimes some of us, we run away from God. You think everything is moving what? Well. Praying, you may not have time to go to church. When even someone calls you, can we go to church? You don't have that because you are on the mountain. Yet during that period, you need God in order to maintain what you have. If you have that money, not to be worried that this money will vanish. You need God to maintain that money. If you have your children there well, you need God to maintain, to keep on the life, the happiness, the joy in the house. In the marriage, there's happiness in your marriage. You don't hide, you are free. You need God to maintain that smoothness, that happiness, that joy in the marriage. Without God, then the other side may do what? May flip. And when it flips, when it comes, it may be difficult for you to do what? To handle. By the time you rush back to say, oh, I began my journey with God, it may be worse that you cannot collect it yourself. And it may cost you both in heart, money, and sometimes we lose relationships. Even in a relationship, just friendship, even at work, sometimes when we are better, we are in a better position, money is coming. You think everything is what? Is well. And it's well during that period. But for you to continue in that grace, you would need who? God. That grace to say that happiness, the money is coming, promotions are coming, if you have a business, profits are coming, you need God to provide, to keep you in that what position. So, in that situation, that's the one I'm saying, let God do what? Handle it for you. Because if you use your own effort, you may not, we are too limited to handle every situation. Then, if it's the other side of the coin, things are not going well. Sometimes we say the devil is fighting us. It is true, the devil comes to fight, to destroy, to pull you down, and to kill. Situations may be there that we try as much as possible to see that I can fix it myself. You rush to your friends. Mr. James, is James. I'm sorry to use it. Your wife may come with thinking, James has not provided this and this. Yet with James, he can be sympathetic, but he cannot solve the problem. We, at times, even relationship or friendship, you even desert your family because they've not done what? They've not helped you. You think a person should come in to do what? To help you. Yet, he cannot. It's only God. Some situations may not be Satan coming to you. It may be God putting that condition in your life to test you whether you are still with him, whether you can navigate with him, then he can work, he can do a miracle in your life so that his name can be what? Glorified. If you run away, it means you are going to fail what? The test. If you run away, it means you have failed what? The test. We have sicknesses, pain. Remember, by the way, let me just ask this question. Is there anyone, you know, there is a condition called autism. Autism. Is there anyone with either friend or in your family who has that condition of autism? Anyone? Okay. You said you have? Okay. Someone is related to? Okay. So, I think we are going to pray for you. Yeah. So the condition is autism. So it's not affecting only that person, but it's affecting another person who is coming, or it's widening the family. So remember, when we are finishing, you'll come here and we'll pray for you. That condition, autism. Okay. Yeah. So diseases come, and spiritually, they are an attack from the devil, and you have to hand it to what? To God. What I said the topic today, let God handle your what? Your situation. Both sides of the life. Whether you are on the mountain or you are in the valley. Let God handle your what? Your situation. This is where you are letting God to take control. God giving you peace. And you rest. He will give you, he's giving you the peace. And you are surrendering everything to him to take control of it. You are too limited to handle your own what? Your situation. And you are saying, God, this is too heavy for me. This is too wide for me. This is too long for me to fight, to solve. You are taking your break. You are withdrawing your own, your personal effort, and you are letting God handle that situation. The Bible says in Job chapter 5 from verse, Job chapter 5 from verse 6, 7, specifically 8, 6, 7 says, okay, okay. For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Just a moment. Hardship, trouble, is not going to be grown from someone's garden. No. But, the other program. But, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. We are born the day we are born to find this what? Trouble. By the way, I'm preaching. I'm not. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Yeah? He said, he did not say, go and explain the gospel. So, I'm just preaching the gospel. If I don't explain what you want, just know I am what? Preaching. For yet man is born as surely as sparks fly. Man is born to travel. You are going to find trouble on either sides of the coin. You will find what? Trouble. But what happens when you are in that condition? What happens? Number 8. This is what. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. That means God is telling us, if I were you, if it's me, I would lay my problems to who? To God. Don't expect me to fight. I can pray with you. I can sympathize with you. But the only person who can handle all of this, all of what you are going through, is what? God. So the perfect peace, the perfect handler, the person who is going to give you the rest, is who? God. Because he is able to do miracles, signs, and wonders a person cannot do what? Do. Even if it is sickness, it is just simple to him. He will heal. Miracles have been happening in this place. Supernatural miracles, physical miracles. So our part is to have faith that, well, let it rain, let it shine. I have the only person I can put in my cause, my problems, is who? God. Because the man is saying, if I were you, I would put all of my problems to who? To God. I've explained the second verse, so I'm going to give you an example of a man who thought that he should be helped by human being. Who thought that everyone, the way we come here, we come here. I came, she came, he came, and everyone came here. You may have come in even in a group, but you think that we are going for a similar cause. Now there is another man who just came in, is hungry for a miracle. Is hungry for what? For a miracle. For us, we take it traditional. It is normal. I have to go to what? To church. But there is another person whose faith and hunger is that if God can do what? Touch me. So if I come and tell you, you say, sister, this is happening. Okay, don't mind, it will be well. But there is someone who is coming, is saying, I will not tell who? Ha. I want the God of this place to do what? To do a miracle for me. He handles it to what? To God. He has explained his problems to people. They are sympathetic, but they don't do what? Help. There is this man in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Then there is, okay, we shall first read all the chapter because of time. Then I will explain. Is it okay? Yeah. Let us read. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Here we are many. You may be sick, paralyzed financially, paralyzed in marriage, paralyzed you don't have work, everything. Those are the conditions which were there. Maybe physical or spiritual. You are broken. Stress is killing you. You have any disease inside. Organs are not working. Your family is no longer together. Yeah? Your children are no longer responding. You even call. When in America, when people grow all their children the other side, they just say, Dad, are you there? Okay. They take days. They take months. They take years. Yeah? Yet in the old days, that's when you would expect your children to be where? Near you. Because you did it when they were young, so in the old years you expect them to be where you are. But now they are not there. They are not calling you, yet you need their what? Their voice. Those are the problems that were there. Then, for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain time to the baptismal pool and stirred up the water. And whoever went in first after the stirring of the water was healed of any disease he had. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. You have that condition for some time. It may be 1 week. It may be 1 year. It may be 5 years. But it's a condition you are in. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" God knows your position, knows your problem. Jesus did not need to go and ask this man, "You've been here. What is the problem?" God knows our what? Our problem. In private, in public, even if you hide anywhere, God knows your what? Your problem. Our problem is not going back to him and say, "This is my problem." He already knows what he needs. He needs us to invite him, to tell him, "God, you created me not to suffer, not to be in this condition. You must take it. Well, take it away." "Sir," now this is now the man replying. "Sir," the invalid man replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am lying, I'm trying to get in it. Someone else goes down ahead of me." That's when I said, we think others will do what? Solve our problems. You think your brother must stand with you. You think your parents have abandoned you. You think your co-workers, they are not helping you. We transfer the burden to other people. God is asking, "Do you want to be well?" The answer is what? Yes. Rest. rest the case. And let him do what? Handle. Now transferring the burden. "My husband has not done this, has not taken me to the hospital." It's okay. Maybe he's going through something. Let God do what? Handle. Let God do what? Handle. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Did he go into the normal process of healing? No. God's ways are not our what? Our ways. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The traditional way of doing things is human. The way God does his things are the godly way. He just says, "Let it be," and it is that. It is what? Happening. He does not need to consult a doctor. How you will, if you've been lame, how you should begin, is it, they call it physiotherapy, how you should learn to do what? To walk. If someone has been mentally insane, mentally healed, he does not consult that you will need a psychologist to tell you how to begin now associating with the people. When he heals, he does what? He heals once and for all, and everything is in its normal what? Position. He is quick to put you to the level you which you were supposed to be on. As long as we trust him with everything we have. Let us go. In the evening, sometimes when we get healed, when we are recovered, when miracles happen in our life, when we overcome everything, you say, I'm done. I'm finished. It is well. You know what we do? You go back and rest in your house. Go back where you don't remember going to God. But this man, we go back to our old ways when God has done what? A miracle. or something has happened. Your marriage is settled. Your children are now happy. They are now at school. Graduation is happening in your house. You think everything is what? It's okay. You don't remember that there was a situation that required God's what? Intervention. And when you thought him, he came in. That's when we go back and slide and we fall. This is what happened. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you again. Stop doing what you used to do because you are well. Stay in the presence of who? Of God." The situation when you give it to God, it means you are having the faith. You are saying, "Here I am. My faith is in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in your miracles." And it will bring a deeper connection with you, deeper praying with you, deeper worship between you and your what? And your God. At that point when you hand it over to him, the connection you should be having, praying, worshiping, fasting. Jesus said, "Give me all your cares and burdens. I will carry them." My burden is light. To do what? To carry. Let me give you, maybe if he has it, it will be well. There is a lady called Haggai. Haggai. In chapter 6, Genesis chapter 1, it's not there. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 16, verse 13. He had been chased out of Abraham's house by Sarah. She was pregnant. She went into the wilderness. She didn't know where she was going. Now, an angel, she was there crying. Then the angel said, "Why are you crying? Where are you going? Go back in the house, in Sarah's house." Because she had got pregnant in someone's home. Haggai, I know you've ever read about it. Do you know what Haggai said? "Oh, I have seen a God who sees me." She gave God a name because in the difficult moment, God was there. In the difficult what? Moment. God is there. I don't know what you are going through, but in that difficult moment, sometimes you will need to be in your own bedroom and cry to God and tell him, "What is this? How should I handle this? Please, this is yours, not mine. I am not ready to carry this pain in my stomach. This pain in my marriage. Raising children is not easy. You need God to help you to raise these children. It's not buying food and meat and they eat. Going to school and having the right friends, it's God who can help you. Raising children, paying school fees, and everything, you need God." There is lastly another example. I know he has not. This lady, she had a condition. It is in Samuel chapter 1. She's called Hannah. Hannah and Penina are married too. As I finish, because time is not my best friend. Hannah and Penina, they are married to Elkanah. Elkanah, the husband. Penina has children. The other one has no child. The womb is. Penina insults Hannah. But the husband says, "Don't tell us, Hannah, don't mind. Don't you think the seven children you want, I'm better than the seven children you want?" Because Hannah wanted what? A child. Now, Elkanah, the husband, thought he should be the comfort zone for Hannah. But that was not the case. Hannah, what Hannah did very early in the morning, he went to the church. In the temple, he cried to the Lord. He presented his cause to God. He told him all of his worries. Remember, even the pastor found there. He said, this lady is drunk. What am I saying? Sometimes you may think, the pastor is going to help you. The pastor is going to do what? To help you. How you would pray for me? No. My sister, my brother, it's not the case. You have a personal touch with God. The priest in the church told Hannah that she's even drunk. Why are you drunk this morning? But the lady was pouring her heart to God. And eventually, God answered him. When he answered her, she bore a son who is a prophet. However, there was something she did during that time. He said, if you give me a son, I will do this. What do you give? What do you offer? God does not need something, but is a God of covenant. Is a God of what? Covenant. Those days in the Old Testament, they used it to sacrifice cows and what and what. For us, as believers, you have to do whatever it takes for you to get what you want in life. I'm sorry to quote, I was not part of the sermon last week. But the title was, if I remember, it was about giving. Sometimes, God does not sell. But sometimes you will have to say, God, if you give me this, I will do. Give me the riches. I will pay a tithe in billions. He does not want you to pay, but he's a God of what? Covenant. That's why he brought his only son, and he says, this is the covenant of my blood. Do you, in your part, do you want only just to receive from God and go home and sleep, and you should always be praised that I gave you? You can give. Make your covenant by saying, I will serve you the rest of my life. I will do this. Hannah did what she promised. What are you promising God today? In your situation, are you ready to commit your life to him? Are you ready to serve him? Sometimes money will serve. The gospel is for free, but spreading it is expensive. So, today, someone is in South Africa. He didn't move by foot. There is a project in Mozambique. There is a project in Senegal. Do you think it's just a call away? Partner with that project. Tell God, I'm sowing my seed here. This is $1,000. Lord, there is someone who is angry in Mozambique. This is 1,000. I'm not buying, but this is my sacrifice. Help me. I want to go through this situation. Do that. I'm not saying you are buying, but commit. As God will be, as that man is providing for the other person in Mozambique, in Senegal, God will say, oh, this my child has already given me. How should I leave him in this situation? How should I leave her? You remember? Mom, time is against me. Can you give me like 3 minutes? You remember the lady of the alabaster oil? That was what she offered. And she's remembered every now and then. You remember the boy who had, is it 2 feet? Fish at the wedding. She gave him. It was multiplied. What you have, if you give it to God, he will multiply. He will not leave you in the same condition you are in. Let us not be religious in giving and working with God. We should partner with the Holy Spirit to finish When the gospel is spread outside, he cannot leave you in the same condition that you are. You will be suffering, you're having disease, you're having pain. He will restore everything. He needs partnership. Partner with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Happy is the company that partners with God. Peace, joy, and salvation will be in your house. As we finish, I'm going to help to ask you to stand. There is a song we are going to sing. And as we sing this song, surrender everything. Surrender. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know. You may be just having happiness in the home. But to maintain that happiness for the next 10 years, to maintain that joy, God to handle whatever you are going through, kindly surrender. Withdraw your effort and let him do what? Take over. Have faith. Have faith that he can do it. Is there anything too hard for him?
No.
He said, give me your cares and burden.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, I precious Savior. I surrender.